How would you react if a stranger insulted you right to your face?
Sometimes I would just take it. I mean, how long can they, you know, cuss at my mother? 30 seconds, 45 seconds. At some point they get bored of this and then they, okay, then what? So then I'll be like, okay, are you done?
Hey, it's Julie. Welcome to Uncomfy, a show about sticking with moments that challenge us even when they're uncomfortable. And I get it. Nobody likes to be uncomfy. But I've learned from experience, and you probably have too, sometimes a little discomfort has benefits if we can stay open and curious about it. And that's what we're here to explore. So let's get uncomfy. I'm joined today by Adam Becker. He's the CEO of Head On, which is an online platform that helps people have good faith conversations about tough topics. Mostly the platform is focused right now on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. It's hosted thousands of conversations between Israelis and Palestinians and Americans too. And AI plays a role on the platform that is quite surprising. So Adam Becker is with me to talk about all of this. Welcome to Uncomfy.
Julie, thank you for having me on.
So I know from your bio that you are trained as a tech entrepreneur. So this is a pretty fascinating focus. And I understand that it started with your own experimentation, having conversations like this with strangers online. Tell us how that went. How did you go about that?
Yeah. So actually, I think I probably have had maybe over 1,000 conversations, just random encounters with people online, face to face, as in video, audio form. I don't really believe in text conversations in this form, but the audio-video ones have a very unique sort of draw for me, and I think the conversations there end up unfolding in a very interesting way. So I'll give you some background as to what happened. I grew up in Israel, and I moved to California when I was 16. And when October 7th hit, this was a couple of years ago now, the next day I got on a flight and just moved back to Israel, and I lived there for the following 7 months. And as soon as I got there, I realized that people there were speaking a very different language, and they were seeing the conflict through a very different lens from the ones that you would see if you're, let's say, in the U.S., and certainly if you're Palestinian across the fence or across the border, right? So people were just living in just completely different bubbles, almost isolated universes, and it felt like it was almost impossible for them to understand, forget about agree, but at least understand what the other people are saying, right? Like, how do they even picture themselves across those bubbles? And so one of the first things, I'm not entirely sure even how I found it, but I just went on these like chat roulette apps. So I'm not sure if the audience is familiar with this, but you have Monkey App and Chat Roulette and Omegle. These are all these different apps. Some of them are no longer with us that just randomly pair you up. And oftentimes based on like, yeah, just with other strangers that
anywhere in the world about any topic, like it's sort of like a speed dating chat thing, but just for like conversation.
Exactly. And even less so topic. It's mostly you just say, I want to talk to somebody. And then after 5-10 seconds, it pairs you up with somebody and you just start having a conversation.
And then there you are like video chatting some random person.
Video chatting. Wow. Exactly.
Okay.
So I'm looking at them and they're looking at me and then we can start having conversation. Now, very often people just immediately skip because they want another person. Or sometimes it's younger people,
like,
they
nope.
call you ugly and they move on to the next person, right?
So okay.
And some they can of that see is pretty you're painful.
To be like voted down off the island immediately. Yeah, I don't know if I could handle that. But they can see where you're from at least and kind of a few basics about you.
Exactly. So they see a little flag, which is just mapped to the IP of the computer from which you're calling.
Hmm. Right.
So,
okay.
So you could just picture that, you know, on October 8th, October 9th, October 10th, I mean, temperatures are as high as I've ever been. And people see that the little flag is showing Israel and immediately they go into extremely hostile zone. And they would do, well, first of all, they would like, it'd be very typical. They take the shoe out and just sort of like show me how they're punching the camera. Some people actually took out guns or bullets and just like show me this and then point to my forehead and be like, this is coming. Yeah, there would be a little.
And the point was what here, Adam? Just like what did you want to get out of this?
I wanted to just drive clarity. It was clear to me that it's not so much malice that they're driven by, but ignorance. And I think that it's important for people to be able to have conversations. And I wanted to learn how, right? And like, are certain people irredeemable? are they so deep in ignorance or conspiracy or whatever that you can't even engage with them productively? I refuse to believe that that's the situation. The idea isn't to change anybody's mind, but to open their mind so that at least they understand that they have an incomplete picture of reality and perhaps encourage them to go and do some more research. Why do I have, I'm not sure, it might be a bug in my system, but I just, I'm obsessed with trying to do that.
Really interesting. So you get into this kind of stranger match roulette situation on these apps. People are a lot of them are immediately being kind of aggressive towards you because they can see that you're in Israel and assume that you're Jewish, right? So what did you start doing? Like if it went successful, what did it take usually?
Yeah, so I had to experiment to see what works because, I mean, oftentimes so there's many, many different scenarios. And at some point I start to kind of like see a person and hear how they express themselves and figure out what works and what doesn't work for them. So many of the experiments included things like, well, first of all, they would say free Palestine. And immediately I would say, inshallah, free Palestine. And it would just, they don't know how to react to that. They just freeze. They're like, wait, what side are you on? And I would say, oh, of course the Palestinians need to be free. They're like, oh, wow. And I'm like, yeah, and the Jews need to be safe. We have to find a way to solve, you know, both of those problems at the same time. And they just get stuck and be like, huh, that's interesting. Something in their mental model no longer functioned as they expected. For some people, that doesn't work. So some people go immediately into just cussing, you know, cussing at me. And I've seen that there's multiple things that work there too. So sometimes I would just take it. Sometimes I understand they just need a space. It's not personal. They don't know me, right? Like my ego is not involved in this. So they can yell and they can cuss and whatever. And then afterwards I'd be like, okay, how long can they, you know, cuss at my mother? 30 seconds, 45 seconds. At some point they get bored of this and then then what? So then I'll be like, okay, are you done? Are you done now? Can we now move on? Okay, so now I want to ask you a question. Can I ask you a question? I want to ask you a question real quick. Just, okay, I understand. I got the point. Now let me ask you. And so again, they're not expecting these reactions, right? They think that I will hear their profanity and immediately leave, but I'm just staying with it. I'm staying with the discomfort so long that now they're feeling uncomfortable by having done that.
And then they usually bail out? They're like, all right, this isn't going the way I expected. I'm out of here. Or are they curious
not
enough
as
to
many.
Stick around?
A lot of people are very curious. And a lot of people are, they don't really have, they don't know that I can engage with them at a human level. They're not expecting that. At some point for some people, I'll be like, by the way, can I ask you, did you learn this type of like profanity? Like, is it from your parents? Is it from your family? Like, who taught you that this is proper behavior when you meet another stranger? You know, and sometimes they'd be taken aback. It could also be that they're not coming in as hot. They see me, they dislike, they want to yell or something, but I see that there's something in them. And then immediately I'll be like, sorry, can you give me just, I got, my mom is, she's calling me, she needs some help. And immediately I'll pick up the phone and sort of pretend that my mom is on the line and I'll talk to her.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll pretend because she, you know.
She's not actually calling you.
No, hundreds. She calls me dozens of times a day, but I needed hundreds, you know.
So okay.
I would, you know, just pretend to talk to her and then I'll say something about, you know, I'll talk to her and then I'll be like, yeah, no, she's, you know, some, just conveying some type of humanity to them. And it works. It works remarkably. Now, I wouldn't say it works 100% of the times. Oftentimes it doesn't. But just the fact that they see that there is some type of familialness, right? Like there's some duty, like there are other values that they also aspire to have, right? My value isn't go and occupy Palestine, right? My value is now, you know, my mom needs help and I want to be there for her. And they can relate to it. They see me all of a sudden as a human. There's plenty of those. I mean, we can go, like I used to take
the phone.
Yeah,
tell me some more things that help to just kind of humanize, because it's a really interesting little hack. So what else worked did you find?
Food. And again, these things are just by accident, you know, like at one point I was just eating something and then I got on, you know, on the call and someone was, oh, what are you eating? And I was like, oh, it's a soup. It's a, you know, it's like a pea soup. And they're like, oh, I'm so curious. Can you show me how you make? And immediately I'll take the phone or the camera to the kitchen. And then I just started practicing that game over and over again, right? Where I walk into the kitchen and I show them what I'm cooking. And sometimes I would just take the calls from, you know, I'm like slicing tomatoes or whatever. And then they see, you know, behavior that they are familiar with and that they've done. I show them inside my fridge. Also, I would ask people to show me what's in their fridge. You know, like, and it's all of a sudden they're showing, they're revealing something personal and intimate, but it isn't really vulnerable all that much, right? And so it's almost like safe territory for us to connect over.
Wow. It's so interesting, Adam. So talk to us then about how your company now, this startup, yeah, Head On, builds on those insights that you gained.
I realized that it's not enough for me to do these little A-B testing of what works and what doesn't work. And so I realized that we have to scale these conversations and that I myself can't do it alone. And nevertheless, the structures that I've identified of watching somebody engage in a particular way and drawing some inference and then attempting something and seeing if it works or doesn't work, that is perfectly frameable for a machine learning exercise. That is, machine learning models are built for this. AI, in other words, is taking in context about how you engage. So the first few seconds of conversation, what the topic is, who's the other people in the room, how are they like, what is the dynamic like, what is the chemistry there, and trying to model what might be the best way out in order to not just reduce tensions, but to build something that both people or all the people in the group feel is healthy.
So on Head On, you're matching people up to have conversations. Strangers, mostly, similarly to the, like, do they come in? Obviously, everyone right now is having the Israeli-Palestinian conversation in your ecosystem, right? But you're matching strangers, or are two people coming in together and picking each other, or how does that work?
So there's strangers when they first showed up. And at this point now, many of them, you know each other and like each other. And so now we've been building a community of people that have these conversations.
Oh, wow. So they're frequent flyers. So, but tell me about the initial, paint for me the picture of, you know, you and I come in and we're on opposite sides of this issue, right, let's say, and both feel really, really strongly about our opposite views. And we get paired up in Head On. And then what, is there like an AI bot that's sort of like moderating our conversation, or how's that work?
Right. So I think the best analogy I've been thinking about is kind of like going to the gym. So we know that, you know, exercise is healthy. We know it's good to be doing strength training. You can't go and lift something that's too heavy, though, right? Like you can hurt yourself. And there's different exercises that appeal to different people depending on their skill level and strength level, right? And so what the AI is doing is designing the exercises and offering them to you based on its assessment of where you are temperamentally, linguistically, epistemically, you know, cognitively, socially, how you engage with other people. And it might create various types of experiences, various types of what we call challenges. And so the challenge might be something very combative, like debate Israel-Palestine with a person that disagrees with you. You got 60 minutes, go for it, right? Something a little bit more confrontational. That's okay too.
So the AI is going to sort of set the tone. It'll be like, hey, welcome to, you know, Julie and Adam. I see you're on opposite sides. Welcome to Head On. Here's your assignment for the next hour. Have a feisty debate or whatever.
Exactly.
It might say that. Okay.
Exactly. So you go in and you could just picture it like lots of like cards you see. Okay, so these are the 12 challenges that are open today. But you can't actually access 8 of them because you don't have the skill level, or the AI doesn't trust that you'll be able to engage at that skill level, or the other people in the room won't actually be a good fit for you. So the chemistry won't align.
So first timers have limited choices then. It learns over time how well I am at, how well I do this kind of stuff and what my tendencies are. But initially it's going to be like, here are your two options. Give it a shot.
Yes. And I would say that however good you get, it doesn't mean that you will necessarily have access to all of the challenges. Because from what we've learned now, it's more important to pair the right people together rather than have an excellent moderator. The matching is probably the most important thing. It's who's in the room and what is the topic and when they're talking about it. So we have people who are, there's like an older gentleman, American Jew, and every time he speaks to Palestinian youth, it just sparks fly and everybody leaves frustrated. Everybody, and they hate it. And so the Palestinians tell me, you got to kick him off the platform. And he's telling me, you got to kick them off the platform. This is horrendous. And nevertheless, I have wonderful conversations with him and I have wonderful conversations with them. They shouldn't be in the same room. For them to be in the same room right now, given their skill level, is like me going to the gym trying to lift a fridge. It's not, I'm just going to hurt myself in the process. I probably shouldn't do it. So the AI is operating at a meta level. It's designing the spaces for a productive conversation to take place in the first place, not so much being in the room helping to turn down the flames.
So what does a successful conversation look like then? Or how do you say, yeah, that one worked. Good, let's do more like that.
Yeah, so what the AI is trying to do in the first place, like its objective is to reduce the inaccuracy of the theory of mind. So for example, when I ask Israelis what Palestinians think, they consistently get this wrong. And when I ask Palestinians what Israelis think, they consistently get this wrong. Everybody is totally wrong, and we have a very faulty sense of others' perceptions. And I believe that is a crucial problem. And it's one that it's an existential one, because when you misunderstand the other side, the enemy, you know, your fellow citizen, however you describe them, when you misunderstand them, you're going to pick the wrong tool for the job. And it's very likely that you'll pick the kind of tool that makes the conflict even more intractable. And so what we need to do is have a more accurate, this is just to make people more intelligent, for you to have an accurate window into what is motivating people from the other side. And once you do that, there's a lot that you could do. You could build coalitions. You can drive towards common ground. You could do various things. That's on you to do. The platform and the AI are geared towards trying to increase your own theory of mind accuracy of what the others believe. This is pretty easy to do for an AI because it can listen to you and how you describe my perspectives, and it can listen to me and how I describe my own perspectives, and just find the differences and perhaps even give me a score. So if, for example, you came into a conversation and through previous conversations, the AI knows, okay, you got me at like 50%. But after this conversation, the way you've described my own positions is now at like a 70%. Something happened that was good in that conversation. It reduced your ignorance.
Adam Becker is the CEO of Head On. You can learn more and maybe even join a conversation yourself at headon.ai. They've actually launched some new challenges around big topics in the United States, like immigration. So you might want to check that out. Adam Becker, thank you so much for your time and for the work that you're doing here.
Julia, it was my pleasure. And thank you for hosting the podcast. And thank you for inviting me.
And thanks for getting uncomfy with us today. How often do you have an in-depth conversation with a stranger about an issue that you really care about? A lot of it, at least in my experience, tends to happen in the comments on a social media post, and we all know how unsatisfying that can feel. I'd love to hear if you've found a strategy that works. Email uncomfy@byu.edu or connect with us on social media. We are at uncomfy.podcast on Instagram. Let's keep this conversation going. Uncomfy is a BYU radio podcast. Samuel Benson produces it. The team includes Hyobin Kim and Sam Payne. Our theme music was composed by Kelsey Ney. I'm Julie Rose. Can't wait to get uncomfy with you again next week. Before I leave you, I want to recommend another show from the BYU radio family of podcasts that I'm pretty sure you're going to love. It's called Constant Wonder, and it consistently, or should I say constantly, ranks near the top of Apple's nature podcasts in their rankings. But Constant Wonder is about more than just nature. It's about finding awe in everything around us, including our own backyards. So on the show, you'll hear guests share stories of spiritual encounters with nature, of real life accounts of human kindness and bravery, like a doctor on a quest to bring care to the homeless. See the world with new eyes as host Marcus Smith invites us to find wonder in every corner of life. Listen to new episodes of Constant Wonder every Wednesday on the BYU Radio app or wherever you listen to podcasts.